Welcome to episode 2 of the Untapped Potential podcast, where we dive deep into BFRBs, that's body-focused repetitive behaviors like chronic skin picking, hair pulling, nail biting, cheek biting. We dive deep into these behaviors to discover how we can heal from them. That's right, I said heal, not learn to live with, because in this podcast, we don't fall into the narrative that these are chronic irreversible conditions. My name is Rafaela Marie. I'm your host. I'm a dermatillomania coach, and I struggle myself with chronic skin picking since I was 12 years old. I have dedicated the past 4 years to diving down the rabbit hole into the psychology and human behavior underpinning these behaviors to understand what it takes to heal. And I want to share all those tips, tricks, strategies, insights, and information that you won't find on Google with you today in this podcast and with all the other episodes to come, so that you can help yourself to heal, because you deserve that freedom. Without further ado, let's dive into today's topic, which is shame. What is it? Where does it come from? And how can we use shame as a beacon back to ourselves so we can start healing from our BFRB? This is just a warning. We're going to be going deep into this topic, and I'm going to be asking you some pretty raw, honest questions. So if you're up for that, then stick with me and keep listening. So let's start from the top and work our way down. What is shame? Shame is a painful feeling caused by the consciousness of wrong or foolish behavior. This is actually absolutely okay. Shame is not a bad thing. It's not bad to feel shame. It's actually good. We feel shame and we recognize, okay, this behavior isn't something, or this thing that I'm doing isn't something that's going to help me to build healthy connections with other people. It's an emotion that helps us with healthy socializing, because it tells us what behaviors are potentially hurtful or unacceptable. And when we hurt someone, it encourages us to make up with that person, to reconnect and to reconcile and apologize. So shame in itself is not an issue. It's actually really important to experience that. It's totally normal. What isn't normal, and what we're going to be focusing on, is toxic shame. And toxic shame is when we think that we as the person that we are at our core, we are the thing that is wrong or foolish. Not the behavior, but us as a person. That's when shame gets toxic, because then we feel the need to change who we are. But we can't really change who we are. We just have to hide parts of ourselves. We have to put on a mask and pretend to be something that we're not, to escape that shame, to escape the part of us that we have learned to believe is wrong or foolish. And it's understanding this toxic shame and when it shows up that is going to help us understand what we need to do to start healing so that we can release that shame, become more of who we are, and start healing from chronic skin picking or hair pulling or any BFRB. Because at its core, healing from a BFRB is us just reconnecting with ourselves and becoming more of who we are. Toxic shame is preventing us from doing that. So let's bring this into the context of BFRBs. What does toxic shame have to do with BFRBs? You probably get it at this point. You've probably experienced it yourself. We all have. Anyone that has struggled with a BFRB on a deeper level has experienced that shame, has experienced feeling lost, not knowing what to do, feeling like we're bad or there's something wrong with us for doing this thing and not being in control of it. Because we're aware of the pain that it causes. We're aware that it's not good for us. We're aware of how much better it would be if we didn't engage in that behavior, and yet somehow we can't stop. And so the question comes in, then what's wrong with me? Then the toxic shame comes in, because we feel shame because we realize that the behavior itself isn't necessarily good. So we go back to the definition of shame, which is a painful feeling caused by the consciousness of wrong or foolish behavior. So if we understand, or if we think that the behavior is wrong, which we do because we want to change it, right? Then if we can't seem to change the behavior and we feel out of control and we just keep falling into it, then what happens? It turns into toxic shame, because we assume that we must be the thing that's wrong. And that's heavy. That's a hard reality to face. And now I want to say something to you that's going to irreversibly change how you see your BFRB and the shame you feel around it. Because the shame, that toxic shame you feel around your BFRB, did not come from that behavior itself. It existed before you engaged in your BFRB. Or its origins were not from the BFRB, because I know some people listening started to develop a BFRB when they were very young. So the origins of that toxic shame, the origins of feeling like there's something fundamentally wrong with you, didn't come from the BFRB. It didn't come from the hair pulling or the skin picking or the nail biting or the cheek biting. It came from something else. This isn't a question of what came first, chicken or the egg. It's very clear that the BFRB came second. Even if you started when you were a very young child, the origins of that toxic shame did not start with the behavior. And to start to understand this and flesh this out, let's take a look at what our internal dialogue is when we start to experience that toxic shame. What are we saying to ourselves when we've engaged in our BFRB and we're feeling really shit about ourselves? You know, like when we relapse, when we say, I'm never doing it again, and then we end up doing it and we're like, what is going on? So what's the internal dialogue that's fueled by this toxic shame? We ask ourselves, what's wrong with me? Why am I like this? Why can't I just be different? Why can't I just stop? Why aren't I in control? Why can't I just do that thing, be that way, look that way? If I did, life would be better. People would like me more and I would like me more. That's what the internal dialogue sounds like when we're in that toxic shame. And these questions that I just said, these things that I just said, are not isolated to the behavior. And it's not the first time or the only context where we have asked ourselves these questions. So now I want to ask you another question. Is there a version of you from the past that you cringe over? When you think back and you're just like, oh man, I just want to hide that version of me. I want to pretend like that was never there. You don't want to talk about what you used to do or who you used to be back then. And I don't just mean a moment. I mean a period of time, a version of you. At some point in your life, when you think back on that version of you, you cringe. You shy away from it. You try to avoid it. Now I want you to think of that version of yourself that you're cringing over and trying to avoid, that feels really uncomfortable to think about. Maybe it makes you sad or angry, or maybe shame comes up. And what are some questions that we asked ourselves at that time? Probably asked ourselves, hey, what's wrong with me? Why am I like this? Why can't I just be different? Why can't I just do that thing, be that way, look that way? If I did, life would be better. People would like me more. I would like me more. And I just want to share a story with you, because this was me for pretty much my entire teenagehood. Can you say teenagehood? I'm saying it. So around about the time I started skin picking, from the age of 12 to 19, this is a version of me that I cringed so hard over. I was, even when I was that version of me, I was cringing at myself. This was also a really difficult period of my life for me. I was deeply depressed. I had very little self-worth or self-esteem. I found it really hard to leave the house, because when I would leave the house, I felt like the entire world were staring at me and judging me. They'd laugh. They'd find something wrong with me. And life was hard. It was really hard. I didn't like myself at all. I found it really hard to find anything about myself that I liked. And these questions that we just went over, I asked myself these things all the time, every day. What's wrong with me? Why am I like this? Why can't I just be different? Why can't I just be like that person? Why can't I just be confident? Why can't I just be normal? Why can't I look that way? If I were all these things, life would be better. I carried so much shame for who I was. And that's not my fault. That's what I was taught. I was not taught to love myself or accept who I was throughout my childhood. And you know what happened? Even as I started to build confidence, even as I started to grow and develop as a person, and become more of the person that I wanted to be, I still held that shame and dislike for that version of myself, which is so sad because that version of me could not catch a break. When I was that person, I criticized myself relentlessly. And when I started to move into a new version of myself, I continued that criticism. I would look back on that version of me and I would cringe so hard internally. I would judge myself so hard. So even the future, even the past me couldn't escape judgment. How unfair is that? How heavy is that? That version of me was doing the absolute best she could with the tools that she was given, and she was not given many tools. She was coping and surviving and getting through. She was trying her damn hardest to be better, to do better. And that shame that I felt around the version of myself that I was, that was not isolated to that part of my life. Whenever I would fall into a picking session, it would all come back. Those questions, what's wrong with me? Why am I like this? That toxic shame will come to the surface again. And my thinking was, and I'm sure you've been here too, is if I could just stop doing this thing, I would feel better about myself. Which is basically saying, if I could just stop doing this behavior, then the toxic shame is going to go away. I'm going to feel better about myself. I'm going to like myself. Other people are going to like me. When skin picking is actually a symptom of that toxic shame. And I say skin picking. If I just say skin picking or I mention that instead of all the others, it's just because that's what I struggled with. And that tends to be what I address the most and the people that I speak to the most. So if I just say skin picking, just know that what I'm saying applies to all BFRBs. So my thinking was, and the general thinking of most people with a BFRB is, if I can just stop this behavior, this emotional pain, this toxic shame is going to be, that's the solution. But we're only focusing on what we can see and the stories we tell ourselves. And if that is what we focus on, we're just going to find ourselves in this endless loop, in that addiction cycle, in the BFRB loop, which is trying to stop resisting. Then we start to obsess over it, think out of it a lot. Then we have a relapse. We feel really crappy about ourselves. That shame comes up. And then a certain amount of time passes and we start it all again. That is because we're missing what's underneath the surface. We're missing that pain is not coming from the behavior. In fact, the behavior is a symptom and it's helping us. It's a coping mechanism. It's helping us cope with the pain of that toxic shame. And that's a whole topic in itself, because BFRBs are behavioral addictions, and they're addictions because they release dopamine in our brains. Dopamine is a reward hormone. It feels good. It gives us that sense of satisfaction. And it's how we fall into that trance-like state, because we're essentially just pressing a button of dopamine and we're getting that hit. And it's giving us a sense of relief and a break from that toxic shame that we're just carrying around with us constantly. And so when we only focus on the behavior, we're missing the whole other side of the coin. We're missing the subconscious side of things. We're missing the belief there, which is, I am wrong. There is something inherently wrong with me. I am not good. That's what that toxic shame is. And as long as we continue to focus on the behavior and we avoid or we ignore what's going on underneath, then we're just going to find ourselves in that pattern again, repeating over and over, wondering why we just can't control ourselves. And then we fall into that trap of, maybe I just need to learn to accept it. And what we're actually saying is, I just need to learn to accept that there is something fundamentally wrong with me. I need to learn to accept that this toxic shame is the truth. And that isn't to say that acceptance doesn't have a place in healing. It does. Learning to accept ourselves and love ourselves is a huge part of healing. But when we're trying to accept that we just are that way and we don't have any control over this behavior, when we miss the fact that it's a symptom, the behavior that we're addicted to is a symptom, it's not the cause, then that's where we get stuck. And the reason why I asked you if there is a version of you from the past that you cringe over is because we all have a version of ourselves that we don't really like, or we were a version of ourselves that we didn't really like. But in saying that, that version of us is still a part of us, and it is a part that is worthy of love and acceptance and understanding. Because if you really think of that version of you that you're cringing at, can you actually truly say you were a bad person? Or were you just a person that was maybe struggling and doing their absolute best? The way to release this shame is you can release a huge trigger for engaging in a BFRB is to start to rebuild your relationship with that version of yourself. To learn to love that version of yourself, to bring in compassion and understanding, and get curious of what was actually going on there for you. I know that when I did this for me, it was really, really hard because I felt so much shame and embarrassment and humiliation for who I was. Because who you're listening to right now was not who I was when I was a teenager. I was incredibly shy. I had no confidence. I could barely look anyone in the eye. And I had selective mutism as well, because I was so afraid of my own voice. And now I'm doing a podcast, man. And how I got to this point was through learning to love that version of myself, to appreciate how hard I was trying, to appreciate how well I was actually doing, considering the tools I was getting given, considering the life I had lived up to that stage. And that version of me so deserved to have some appreciation and acceptance. So deserved to be acknowledged for the work and the effort that she put into herself. If it weren't for her, we would not be sitting here right now. Or I don't know if you're sitting, but we would not be talking right now. I would not be talking to you. Without her finding the strength to create change despite all the odds, this would not have happened. If it were not for her strength to create change and to strive for a better life, despite all the odds, I would not have the life that I do today. It's thanks to her that I have all that I have. It's thanks to that version of me that I have all that I have. And that I am here on this podcast helping other people heal. And I can feel the emotion coming up as I'm saying this because I know it's true. And I feel sorry that that version of myself had to live with the judgment and the pain of that toxic shame. And it has taken work to develop that level of compassion and love for that version of me, which has been a key factor to healing from chronic skin picking. Because that toxic shame around that version of myself was a key factor, a key trigger to me needing to pick at my skin. Because imagine carrying that weight around with you, that judgment and criticism. That's exhausting and heavy. You need a respite from that. And if you can't even get that from yourself, then you need to get that from something external, which is the BFRB. It's the behavior. It's that hit of dopamine that gives that instant relief. When the true release and the relief we're looking for is that self-love and compassion and understanding and acceptance. I don't know about you, but I am feeling emotional. This is a deep one. I said we were going to go deep. So what is that version of you from the past that you cringe over? And please don't compare yourself to me. Don't compare your story to mine. Your story is your own. The pain that you feel is your own. There is no comparison. When we start to compare and make our experience small in comparison to someone else, that is just a way of devalidating ourselves, making ourselves small and telling ourselves to just suck it up. When what that version of you truly needs and deserves is to be acknowledged and heard and accepted and taken seriously. That's what you deserve as a human being at your core. And when you can give that to yourself, when you can give that to the version of yourself that you cringe over, you are going to release so much weight from your shoulders and from your chest, because you are worthy. You are lovable. You are enough, and you always have been, and you always will be. Don't deny yourself that any longer. Now, I don't want to leave you with all this information and insight without a way to actually work through it and start to release that shame and to accept yourself and love yourself. This is actually week one of my free online program, the Cold Turkey Challenge. Week one is dedicated to releasing shame. There is a workbook and a meditation to help guide you through that process and show you how you can start to heal yourself and lead yourself in releasing that toxic shame so that you can truly take real steps to healing from your BFRB, because this is a core aspect of it. If you want access to this incredible free resource, I am going to leave the link in the description. I don't actually know if that's possible. Like I said, this is the second episode. I'm doing this for the first time. Not entirely sure what I'm doing. I don't even know how everything works, but this is a learning process and I'm okay with being imperfect in front of you because I know you get it and I know you accept me anyway. So I'm guessing I can put a link in the description and I will put it in there. The link will be to my private Facebook group, which is part of the program. You'll find out how to get your logins for the online portal in the Facebook group, and there are no strings attached. I've been asked this before. This is all free, just for you, no strings attached. You can join the group, get the logins, and it's all yours for free. Plus, we do twice a month, we do Monday masterclasses, and this is where we dive deep, like we're doing in this podcast, into topics about BFRBs, and I essentially share with you, teach you stuff that you're not going to find on Google. And you also have an opportunity to ask me questions and I can help you one-on-one with certain things that you're struggling with. It's also just awesome to connect with incredible people in this community, in this space as well, this growth space where people are looking for ways to heal and are not stuck in that mindset of this is a chronic illness that I can't recover from. So this is a space for people who want to heal and want to believe it's possible to heal and want to learn how to do that. This space is just awesome. I love the calls. I love the people that I meet on the calls. They're awesome, so inspiring, so enjoyable. And all the recordings from these masterclasses are then uploaded to the online portal, which again, saying it's all free, no strings attached. Just come join the community. I would love to see you there if you aren't already in there. I'm just trying to think if there's anything to add on this topic, and I think we've pretty well covered it. I think there's a lot there to digest and to think about and to go over. Thank you for taking the time to listen to me. Thank you for your trust. Thank you for taking the time to be here and listen and share this space with me. If you enjoyed this episode and really got value out of it, I would love to hear your feedback in wherever you people leave feedback on podcasts. So like leave a review, I guess. Again, still learning. I don't know where you can do that, but I'm sure there's buttons there somewhere you can hit like or follow, or you can leave a comment or leave a review. I would so love it if you could do one of or all of those things and also share this as well with anyone that you think might benefit from hearing from it. Again, thank you so much for being here. This has been so enjoyable. I really love being able to get raw and real and deep with you. It's so good for the soul, and I hope you have felt that too. So have a lovely day, evening, wherever you are, and we will see each other in the next episode or on social media or in the Cold Turkey Challenge Facebook group, which again, you'll find the link, hopefully, in the description. See you later.